Yeah. Yeah. I can't turn it down. It won't let me. It won't let me turn it down. Jake, I can't turn it down. I can't turn it down. I can't turn it down. There we go. I got it. I was able to turn it down.
Wow.
All right.
So new intro?
I just wanted to have a little bit of fun. I just wanted to have a little bit of fun.
We're not allowed to do any of that. Nope.
Not allowed to have any fun at all. What do we got going on today, Jake? What's the story? What's the
scoop? We have all sorts of news today, Chris.
Yes. Usually news is boring, but not with Overcrest. Overcrest news is always a great time, especially when Joel Fetter comes around to argue with me. and this may be the last time we ever have Fetter on because he makes a statement that I do not agree with in a wholeheartedness. So we may never have Fetter on the podcast again. I'm just kidding, of course.
You aren't, we'll see.
How are you, Jake?
I'm good. I'm getting settled into my new place. So I have a white wall and I'm zoomed in because there's
you look
not
like
much
you're in a
me.
Sanatorium.
Yes, honestly. That's how I feel too, because I'm going crazy. I need to be. Yeah.
Remember when you were moving and I said, throw it away,
throw everything away,
throw it all away. Do you wish you would have?
Which, by the way, this would have been the same. Like, I would have just been in front of a white wall anyways.
No, you probably would have had something awesome because you wouldn't have spent all of that time, you know, with all this other items that you've got that are should have been thrown away. Right. Mainly because they're all covered in cat hair, but everything should have been thrown away.
Yeah, I wish that. Yeah, but I mean, it's the sunk cost fallacy, right? Like, I've spent so much money on this stuff. I need my stuff. It'd be a waste to throw away all this stuff.
Yeah, but this is stuff that you've been accumulating for the last. So Jake bought a new house, if you didn't listen to some other episodes, and he took everything except a couch that I made him leave. He took almost everything.
I have like a dumpster worth.
Okay, so you still took way more than you should from the old place to new place. I saw items that were manufactured for IKEA in the things that you brought to your 16-acre estate on the Mississippi River.
St. Croix, but yes. They're,
dude, it's the same to everyone else. Nobody knows the difference.
Right. Okay, St. Croix is better.
Nobody knows the difference. It's actually
much
pretty
cleaner.
Cool. There's
much cleaner.
It is much cleaner. There's when you cross over in Wisconsin to go from Wisconsin to Minnesota, you are not crossing the Mississippi River there. You think you are, but you're not. It's the St. Croix. And then the Mississippi River goes through this Twin Cities.
Correct.
And it is a muddy, disgusting mess. And you can see where they come together. It looks
like one is brown and one is clear.
It's like toilet water and fresh water, basically.
Exactly.
So you don't necessarily, I've swam in the Mississippi. I've gone down there and swam around in that water. It's not the end of the world, but
okay.
Yeah, definitely not ideal. Anyway, you should have thrown it all away. And just started.
Yes, I probably
scratch.
Should have.
Yes.
But I didn't. And so here we are. Regardless. Yeah, still working on my background, but I'm here.
We made it. You're here. We made it. So I got something in the mail. I want to show it to you.
Show me what you got in the mail.
Over here. This is the only car thing that I've got going on. Everything else is I just got the heater going like yesterday. So I haven't had a chance. I did some cleaning, but I've got this.
Oh. Ooh, some wheels.
Yeah, but some wheels from 1552 showed up for the, you know.
Wait,
honestly,
I didn't see enough of them. Hold on. Scoot back. I want to see the whole thing. Okay. Nope, keep going that way.
Jake.
What?
Change the size of your window. I'm in widescreen format. You can see it fine. Good grief. Yeah, Luddite.
Oh, now I can see it. Oh, nice. I like it.
Yeah, so that's going to be on the, we're probably going to put it on the 4Runner for now. Oh, I have a story to tell you.
Uh-oh.
So.
Do people know that you got a 4Runner?
Yeah, everybody knows. Hey, guys, I got a 4Runner. Anyway.
Okay,
so it's like a generation 4 4Runner.
Yeah.
Nice truck. Clean.
Yeah.
Was. So I'm in the driveway and we have a Bagster being picked up. Next to the driveway.
Why? Because I inspired you to get rid of all of your stuff.
I threw away or gave away 10 to 12 garbage bags full of clothes, gave them away. There's still more to go. And 15 to 20 Tupperware bins of stuff, was given away, sold, or thrown away.
That's
thanks
awesome.
To your inspiration of everything that you've been going through. Anyway, so I had a bagster outside with all kinds of garbage. And when they come pick it up, they need space, right? They need space to like back the truck up and grab the thing, put it on the driveway. So Jesse had taken the 4Runner and parked it in the grass on mm-hmm. the opposite side of the driveway. Mm-hmm. And I'm in here trying to get the remote start working. I bought a new remote for it. Supposed to have remote start. Still doesn't work. But anyway, you're supposed to push the button and make it work. And it doesn't work. So I spent like 20 minutes trying to figure out how to make, freezing to death in this car, trying to figure out how to make the remote start work. Still doesn't work. Anyway, so I'm frustrated. I'm angry. I can't get it to work. But now I'm going to go and I'm going to move the truck back into the driveway.
Okay.
So I fire up the truck and I start backing up. And I hear a crunch and I'm like, oh, I ran over one of the things that I use for telling the snow. Nope. I totally backed into the Golf. Yep. Took the 4Runner and backed it right into the Golf.
No.
Right on the rear quarter panel above the wheel. Just bam. Just crunch.
Ooh,
it was a really bad
sucks.
Sound. So the Golf actually fared better than the 4Runner did. The 4Runner plastic bumper is like scratched and it has a little crack in it. And the Golf nothing broke paint. So I think I can get it PDR'd and just have it put back to where it was, which is awesome.
Okay.
Because
so it dented it basically.
It dented it and scuffed it and scuffed the door handle mm-hmm. too. And I'm just like, I ran over the snowplow guide marker thing, only
yes.
went through my head for a second. And then I go, well, yeah, that sound is way more than a plastic fiberglass thing
right.
getting bonked into by the bumper.
Shoot. That is frustrating.
I felt absolutely sick. And now
yeah.
I don't want the Golf anymore. I don't want it anymore. It's not, it's been soiled. It's been soiled. It has been soiled. That's absolutely right.
I don't know
that's
soiled. Why that came to mind, but that is what has happened.
Yes, it has been soiled. It is now tainted.
Exactly.
It is like the virgin that shall never be married, or the lack of the non-virgin that shall never be married.
Right, yes.
Yeah, it's
yes.
It's been tainted, and I don't want it anymore. So now I don't know what to do. I think I'm going to force myself to keep it. And I called up a PDR place, and I was like, hey, man. You know, I don't really want to pay $1,000. My deductible is $1,000, is what my deductible is.
Yep.
And I think it can be PDR'd for, I called the guy and he said, yeah, it's probably about $1,000 to $1,500. And I go, well, I think I'd rather pay to have them try to PDR it and get it right without doing body work and paint work. Because if I go to the body shop, they're just going to go, they're just going to get rid of all the paint. They're going to do all the things that they do. And I'd rather not do that. So we're going to give PDR a try, get it really close, and then buff out the scratches because it's just a scuff. It didn't go down to the metal or anything like that.
The problem is if the PDR guy can't get it, now you have to go to body shop.
What is the policy if the PDR guy can't get it?
I would ask
them. Yeah, I got it pretty close.
I think, and I think that's what they say, and you pay him for the time that he spent. I don't think it's like a guaranteed result type situation.
There's got to be some sort of compromise there. Like, hey, if I get it right, it's going to be $1,500. But hey, if I get it really close, it's like $1,000. And I think if you get it really close, that's still worth it. You know, in terms of like not having like 6 inches of
it
Bondo
depends,
on there.
Because no, like a good body shop will do it right. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like if you go to Raymond where you had your car done right.
I looked at it in the dark and I haven't looked at it again.
Okay.
I don't want it. I don't want to know.
That's really rough. That's rough. That's
rough.
I'm trying to think if I've ran one of my cars into the other car. Ever.
I've done things. I was in my Tahoe, which is like a 2005 Tahoe PPV, police pursuit vehicle.
Ooh,
it was pretty
yes.
cool. And I had parked it, and there was like a yellow, not a pylon, a bollard in the
yes.
next to a light pole. So you didn't run into the light pole.
Right.
And so I went inside of Lowe's, I think it was Lowe's, and grabbed all my stuff and went back in the car, got it, so sitting on my phone for a minute, tuning the radio. I start driving away, and I go to go around the light pole, I forgot the bollard was there. I was basing my distance, and I dragged that fucking thing from the front fender across, because I was like, room! I'm like, I'm out of here! Home improvement shopping is over! And I just went, zoom! And I just like zoomed around the corner, and I just went, just dragged it all the way down to the rear door.
That is terrible.
That was a good one.
No, I'm talking specifically because what is most frustrating about your situation is you crashed one of your cars into another one of your cars.
Yes. And from what I read, insurance may not even cover it.
Really? Why?
For obvious reasons.
Because you did it to yourself, to your other car?
I did it to myself, and I did it to my own insured vehicle. You have to check your policy. Some insurance companies will cover that. Some will not. But really? Just imagine the fraud potential there.
Oh, I suppose. If you're sick of a car, you can just run it into each other.
You don't even need to involve another party. You just drive it into something else in the driveway.
Oof, that's rough.
And plus, yeah. I don't really want that on my insurance. My insurance is already expensive.
Yeah, I know.
So I don't want to.
Yeah, I get it. Well, that's rough. That sucks. I'm sorry, man.
I felt sick about it. And yeah. I would be like I'd forget and I'd be having a pretty good day.
Yep. And then you go.
And then I would like, it would like, pop back into my mind.
Yeah. And it just ruins.
You're an idiot. Would yep. just like pop back into my head and be like, yep. You're an idiot. Like every 30 yep. minutes or so, like yep. almost falling yeah. asleep. You're an idiot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Someone clip that. That's probably the clip to have. Here, I'll give you a really quiet one without Jake laughing.
You're an idiot.
There you go. That's we'll throw that on the soundboard on Discord. All right.
Okay.
Got a little bit of news.
So let's talk about news.
Yes. I'm going to play you a clip. It's kind of sad.
It's very sad, and it's not the only British motoring institution that's coming to an end.
We are.
This is not just the last in the series. It's the show as you know it is actually ending with, you know, the track, audience, us three, and bad, really badly fitting jackets every week. this is the last one.
It is. And it's sad, but we have been doing it together for 17 years.
16.
Okay, you were late.
Sorry.
But nevertheless, we do feel the time has come to move on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so that clip was from like
that was a
few
couple years
ago.
It was. Yeah, I remember.
It
that.
Was from a few years ago, and then they made a few more seasons.
They did.
I'm guessing there was
just the like adventure films.
Yes, and I guess that too now is done.
It
the
is.
Old Top Gear trio of Jeremy Clarkson, Richard Hammond, and James May will be hitting your screen as the hosts of the Grand Tour for the final time in 2024. The two final episodes have now been filmed, taking place in Mauritania, must be Africa, and Zimbabwe, where the trio we've grown to love will close a chapter that's been three decades. I'm getting goosebumps right now. I'm like, I'm super sad. I feel like part of me is going away.
It's been such a huge influence.
We're done. I have reviewed cars on TV since 1989. That's 34 years. And after next year, I won't be doing it anymore, Clarkson told the Times. Since the Grand Tour launched in 2016, after Clarkson was fired from Top Gear for punching a producer who probably deserved it, in my opinion, it's gone. I have this. Clarkson is so divisive and so opinionated. But I feel like nobody would give a shit about him if he wasn't who
correct.
He was.
Yeah,
he's
correct.
Such a brash, brazen, offensive, disgusting, dirty human being.
Yes.
And that's why we love him, because he's so imperfect. Yeah. Eventually, they ditched the live show altogether and just made feature length specials, which we know. All three of their hosts have their own project to pursue outside of the Grand Tour. Clarkson has his farm show, which is fantastic.
Gone.
Do you like it?
Yeah, but it's done now.
It's back. It's coming back.
No.
Yes. Yep.
They did the second season, and then they're like, you're canceled. You're done.
You're
right?
canceled because he made fun of a princess. What a bunch of shit that was. You know what's insane is I had a whole segment of the podcast. It was 25 minutes of the podcast defending Clarkson for that. And I took it out because I was like, it was so hot to touch.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what?
I remember that now.
And I wish I wouldn't have. Maybe we'll throw it up for Drivers Club members.
Drivers Club, perhaps.
You know, we'll throw it up
I'm trying to remember even how that conversation went.
Yeah. Hammond does a lot of work for Drive Tribe while presenting other TV programs.
Hold on.
He also has a show. Hammond has a show where he has a shop It's like the tiniest gear or tiniest cog or littlest cog or something like that. And you have to use a VPN to watch it or download it illegally because it's only available in the UK. It's a great show. It's him. And he started a little automotive restoration shop. Hammond.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah,
that's
great.
Really cool. Yeah. Wait, so is Clarkson Farm? No, that's like we're done
it's
with
back.
That, right?
No, it's back. There's another season coming. Yeah, yeah.
There's going to be a third season.
So they only canceled them for a little bit. And now that nobody's looking again, we're going to start doing it again now that nobody's angry. So people were really mad. They were really, really, really mad.
That's, you know, okay.
And yeah. now we're not so mad anymore. So it's, and now, so we're going to start it back.
Okay. Well, I'm excited for that at least.
Yeah.
And then what is James May did some weird things.
He's
like
been
James
doing
Japan,
some pretty odd shows.
Which makes sense. He's odd. I watched him in Japan. I watched that one and it was
strange. They're kind of slow. I actually really like May in Top Gear. He's probably my favorite. I think
I was going to say, when he's done his individual like history segments,
they're great.
They've been amazing.
He doesn't write anything for Top Gear. I mean, I think he does, but I think it's mostly writers writing for his style and his whatever.
Okay.
He's great. He's done his own shows. He did one where he built a motorcycle. I believe it's a motorcycle or maybe it was a bike out of an Erector set, like a full bike out of an Erector set with like a little gas engine in it, and it worked awesome. It was super cool. Anyway, that's it. This is it. Yeah, they're either in their 60s or getting close, you know. I wanted to play one more clip, and this clip is you'll recognize this from Instagram. We've all heard this clip many, many times in different reels, but I wanted to play the whole thing and show the clip of it. It's from the Beast movie with I can't remember his name. I'm just flubbing on it right now. The Australian guy. Anyway, here's the clip.
It's what non-car people don't get. They see all cars as just a ton and a half, 2 tons of wires, glass, metal and rubber. That's all they see. People like you or I know we have an unshakable belief that cars are living
Eric
entities.
Bana, yeah.
Well, not a Toyota Corolla, obviously, but...
Love the Beast is the movie.
You can develop a relationship with a car, and that's what non-car people just don't get. There was a guy called Charles Babbage who invented the computer back in the 18th century. He talked about the unerring certainty of machinery. Okay, now the problem you have is that when you have the unerring certainty of machinery, it is a machine. When something has foibles and won't handle properly, that gives it a particularly human quality because it makes mistakes, and that's how you can build a relationship with a car that other people won't get.
And I think that's throughout your entire life, all the things that you discover is the foibles, the errors, the mistakes, the flaws.
Right. It's what gives things character.
That's what it's all about. And I feel like society is trending towards trying to be a flawless society.
Right.
Where
yes.
There's no shame for anything. You can kind of do whatever you want. Nobody has any flaws.
I see what you're saying. Yeah. I was just going to say, I'm glad you played that whole clip because I didn't know the origin. I knew it was obviously Clarkson, but I hadn't watched that whole segment.
That's why I wanted to play. It's actually like a 15-minute interview with Bana and Clarkson. It's really good. You know, they talk about whether or not he should restore his V8 race car that he wrecks in the Beast film. And the film itself is actually, I should reach out to Bana and see if he wants to come on the podcast.
That'd be really cool.
That'd be really fun. What else do we got, Jake? What's next?
Well, apparently there are cars that died
every year.
Every year cars we die.
We lose
certain
them.
Models.
They're gone. Yep. Yes. This is your segment, Jake. It says Jake.
Oh,
is
it
your
says
name.
Jake. I thought you were just, I thought that was your note. Like Jake, these are cars that died. And
no,
you were
this
gonna,
is Jake.
You
this is your segment.
Me, Jake, these are cars that died. Okay. Well, let me talk to you, Chris, about the vehicles that are dying for 2024. Would you like to hear them?
I would. I love your commentary on them, honestly.
Okay. The Audi TT and TTS coupe and convertible are no longer for this world.
Has it Audi TT been an Audi TT since the first Audi TT? I'm thinking philosophically and like.
Yeah, it has. I think it has. I think that's always been true. Why not?
Because the first Audi TT was so different than everything else.
Okay.
The other Audi TTs that came after that, it was just an Audi. It wasn't really much different than A4 other than the packaging. like, think about the first Audi TT with the interior with that baseball stitching and the way that the vents were.
I love those. Yep.
I know. Everything got kind of like, plus you could get the 225 horse version. It was like, whoa, this is cool. But it wasn't really.
No, the 3.2, Chris.
Yes.
With their first usage of a DSG, I'm pretty sure was in that car.
So much happened with that car, with that first generation. Everything after that was like, oh, yep, it's an Audi. Oh, yep. And that's why I think it's going away. It became something that was just humdrum, average, boring. That's why it's gone. And everything's going to EV anyway, but just in terms of
that's the real reason, right?
Yeah. Well, maybe we're going to get an Audi TV.
They'll bring back the what'd you call it? An Audi TV? TTEV, aka the TV.
The TV.
I like that. That's okay. Right. The R8 coupe and convertible also gone.
Yep, not surprising.
Well, it's because it's
a petrol-powered supercar. It's gone.
Correct. And they're getting rid of that.
It was fun.
Although,
it was fun.
I do very much enjoy the Audi Quattro EV. What do they call that thing? The Audi the Audi e-tron GT was what I was trying to say there. It is basically the Taycan, but Audi's version of it, and it looks much better.
Okay.
That's a cool-looking car.
Yeah,
anyways.
I know the whole thing you're talking about. The Taycan. The prices on those things are absolutely tanking.
Oh, really?
Tanking, yeah.
You'll be able to have
one pretty soon. Yeah, you'll be able to have one.
Really? Because I was watching them, and I was like, nope, they're too expensive still.
Go ahead. I'm going to look one up on car.
You look one up. The Chevy Bolt EV is also going to call it quits.
Oh, no.
Chevy intends to launch a second-generation Bolt, but the brand has yet to share when exactly this will arrive. So that one's not even, like, dying. They're just not going to make it for a couple years. Wait, what's the... Okay, Chevy Bolt EV, Chevy Bolt EUV.
They've got a bunch of different trashy who-gives-a-shit models.
Okay, yeah, it's, like, just a different version of it. Oh, God, thank goodness that Chrysler 300 is finally being put
down. Okay,
I can't believe they still made those things.
Hold on, let me sort this by price. Not best deals. I want lowest price first.
Yep, and then go...
66 grand. 66 grand for a 4S.
Oh, really?
Yeah. 66. 43,000 miles on it. These things.
What is the cheapest Cross Turismo you can get? Because that's the one to have.
Yeah, you're going to not like the story later then.
Oh, really?
It's not even listed.
All right.
It's literally not even listed. Yeah, it's not there.
Okay. Dodge Charger. That one's sad. That one's going away, I guess.
Yeah,
but it's the Chrysler 300, you know?
Yeah, all that.
The Challenger, we knew that was on its way out.
For people that want to run from the police. Because
correct.
If you were going to run from the police.
For whatever reason, that's the car.
That's the one. That's the one. Absolutely. They made a billion of them. It's almost like in the movie Drive.
Yep.
Where the guy walks up and he's like, and
it's
he's walking
Impala.
By all these muscle cars. And he's like,
yep.
It's like a Nova and a I think there's a Dodge Dart in there. All these different like muscle cars. Then he's like, 2007 Chevy Malibu in silver because it's the most popular car in California.
Love that.
Yep.
I want to watch that movie again. There's so many good clips
from
that.
It's great.
Really? Oh, it's so good. Yeah.
I was going to watch it with the kids, and I'm glad I didn't because he like stomps on someone's face till it's not even there anymore.
Yep.
It's
remember that
violent.
Scene.
Pretty violent.
Oh, yeah.
Movie.
Very much so. Dodge Challenger, we knew was on its way out with like the 57 different final editions.
Final. It's almost like when you have a Photoshop file that you've been working on for a while. And
it's like final project.final.psd.
Final project V3 PSD final.psd.final.psd. That's where we're at with the Challenger right now.
Final
There's
edited.
So many different
actually
versions.
Final.
Of it.
I know.
So many.
Ferrari F8 Tributo, which I don't even know what this is, to be honest, because we fall victim to, Chris. Not victim. We are guilty of not really paying attention to cars that are outside of our purview, not attainable, or that we simply don't care about. Like, we're talking about Tesla later, and I don't think either of us really realized how, like, safe those cars are and some of the cool technology, because we just didn't care or like them. Ferrari F8 Tributo, I guess, is another one of these, because I don't know really what it is.
Well,
it's still
living. It's just the coupe form is dead, because you got to be able to have the top
It lives on
off.
In its drop-top spider guys.
Yeah, you got to be able to
but
be seen.
Coupe is no more. Okay. The Fiat 500X. Didn't know they made this thing still. This is when they made the Fiat 500, but then they're like, actually, we want to get into the crossover segments. They made the X. The Ford Transit Connect. Kind of interesting to see that one go, because I suppose they're going to work on their next electric EV thing.
Yeah, oh, it'll be an EV.
Speaking of electric EV delivery vans, have you seen the new Amazon only EV trucks?
Yeah, they're cute.
They're very cute.
They look like they're from some sort of movie about cars or something.
Like WALL-E or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That was my only comment. Do we know anything about those?
Like, we did an episode about them a long time
by
ago.
By Amazon?
I think they're made by Ford and Rivian, if I recall correctly.
Oh, yes.
Remember they did a partnership.
I do vaguely remember this.
There's got to be something there. I don't remember. And I don't care enough to look.
Okay. Jeep Cherokee.
Can you believe that?
Why?
It's dead.
Oh, the nameplate will return in the coming years. Again,
yeah, I'm sure it will.
They're dropping it in order to do it as an electric vehicle. Jeep Renegade, terrible truck.
What a terrible
truck. That
one was
terrible. Kia Rio, okay. Didn't even know that was still being made. The Kia Stinger, this one was kind of cool.
Hold on a second. The Rio was one of just three models available this year with a starting price of less than 20 grand.
Three. Wow. That is pretty sad.
Now there's two. Yeah.
Yeah. The Kia Stinger, which is basically the Hyundai Genesis G whatever 80 thing of the other one.
Well, what's Mazda cool CX-9. Is that the Stinger was pretty neat. Like you would see a Stinger and be like, yeah, that thing's rad. It's fast. And then all of a sudden I started seeing a bunch of like dumb Stingers that are kind of like basic bitch Kia Stingers.
Yeah.
I
don't know. The Mazda CX-9. That's another crossover we don't need. The Mazda MX-30.
This thing looks ugly too, isn't it?
Yeah, it looks styled like brand new. I didn't even know this was a thing. It made
failed
a small
to impress
ripple.
As an electric vehicle with a driving range of approximately 100 miles. Surprise.
That's why. McLaren 720S coupe and convertible are gone. The 750.
Yeah.
So they're just making a new version.
Nobody cares about McLarens.
I mean, they're cool. Mercedes C-Class coupe and convertible. We're just losing the C-Class?
The C-Class has been around for a long time.
Yeah. The two-door C-Class, the new CLE class, indirectly replaces it.
CLS class, E-Class, coupe and convertible. See, these are coupes.
Wow. You know, okay, so they're just dropping coupes. All those. Oh, no, yeah. The Mercedes Metris van.
Sad. I'd love to have a Metris.
Nissan Maxima.
God, that thing's ugly.
Oh, no. What? Porsche Panamera?
I told you.
Rizmo? Why? This was the best.
We have an article coming up to talk about that. I'll let you take it, and it can bother you.
Few folks actually purchased the Panamera Sportsman. Dude, it's so good looking.
We'll get there.
It's so good looking. Well, I know why, because they're just going to do the Taycan Crash Turismo.
That's probably exactly
what. All right, well, that's sad. My saddest one is the Panamera Crash Turismo. Chris, are you done with your Christmas shopping?
No. What can I get?
Well, you
legitimately though, I want to say, because I want to be fair.
Okay.
I got you something for Christmas.
I don't want you
to feel bad.
Okay.
When I bring you something and you don't have anything for me. So this is I'm doing this for
you're
you.
You're saying you
Jake.
You want me to feel bad?
No,
is
no,
that
no.
What you said?
No, I don't want you to feel bad. You have to get me something so you
yes.
don't feel
now
bad
I,
when
I
bring
will
you,
get
the
you
gift.
Something.
Okay. Yes, you have to get
got
me something.
It.
I don't
thank
want you,
you
feel
for
bad.
Thank you for I should probably take note of that, but thank you for that. No, but those folks who are not done with their Christmas shopping and always have someone hard to shop for should get them Petrolbox for Christmas. Petrolbox is, of course, the monthly service made specifically for the automotive enthusiast. Each and every month, they carefully select items, including tools, detailing supplies, shirts like Chris is currently wearing.
Yeah, right here. Look at this.
Yep. You get
look at this. It's got a little, what's that, an eyeball? It's a little eyeball crawling out of the ocean. Went to a salamander, went to our one of
dinosaur.
My, I don't know,
Stegosaurus.
Like
that's Stegosaurus. A Stegosaurus.
I don't know if it's one of my favorite dinosaurs or not. Probably not.
Straight. And then it becomes Mobile One.
yeah, that's it.
It's great. I do love that shirt. That is a fun one. Petrolbox is awesome, though. You know, a subscription makes an absolutely great gift. There's two different levels to choose from. Petrolbox Basic for $20 a month. Petrolbox Premium gets even more gear for $39.95 a month. Check them out at mypetrolbox.com.
Yes. Okay. I know Cybertruck is almost like old hat news right now, but I want to talk about this a little bit. And then we have Fetter coming on after this segment to talk about it some more. One of the most impressive things that we saw, did you see the race between a Tesla Cybertruck and a 911? Except the Cybertruck was towing another 9/11 and
yeah,
this quarter
it was
mile
super
drag.
Cool. And I think he used that like when Elon was talking about it at his presentation. He like showed it and the camera angle showed the truck in the 9/11 and it beat the 9/11, but then
barely.
It panned out.
It was right on its tail.
Right. And then it zoomed out though and you saw the 9/11 being towed, which you're like, what? That's crazy.
Yes. And not true. It actually wasn't a quarter mile, as Elon said. It was an eighth mile.
Okay.
Does that change anything for you? Because people are like, and this kind of gets to my point, is people are seizing on this immediately. Ah, Elon said it was a quarter mile, but it's not. It's an eighth mile. Cybertruck is dumb. Screw Elon Musk. What a liar.
Maybe he meant to say eighth and he just forgot. Like, maybe it was just a slip of the tongue.
You don't understand.
What?
People hate this guy. So they're taking anything they can to just yoink it out.
An eighth mile is almost more impressive because then it like it's off the line more.
Yeah, it's off the line. In a quarter mile, the 9/11 would have won. But dude, it's a truck that weighs as much as like two of these things, towing another one.
It's
and
so
it's
cool.
Still faster.
Yes. It's like it's still valid.
Can we just go, hey, who gives? I don't care if it was like 300 feet.
Right.
You know,
it's
like
still really cool.
Who cares? It's still
really cool.
And it's sad because I feel like some of this, I think the Cybertruck looks like a carpenter square. I think it's really ugly. I think it's such
it
a
it is
dumb,
very ugly. And it's I do like the one review, as I say in quotes, because as Joel says, they were hardly reviews that we saw on YouTube on different channels. But I do like the one that basically said it's a shame the truck looks like that because it is the least revolutionary thing about it is the way it looks.
Yeah.
Which I thought was very interesting.
We've settled for design mediocrity and predictability.
Right.
Is what we have now. We have predictability.
So for that reason, I love this truck.
I love it. I think it's so dumb looking, but I don't care that it's dumb. I want there to be some sort of reward for just trying something different.
Well, if nothing else, it'll be a catalyst. It's a design catalyst.
Right.
Be like, Cybertruck's terrible, but you see it and people are going to recognize it. And so someone else is going to say, well, we can take maybe that formula and make it less crazy.
The problem is that each side has gotten political with it. And if you get it is to the point now where people hate Elon so much, probably because of what he did with Twitter, which was everybody's favorite playground for their political bias. Now they don't like Elon. So now everything Tesla is bad. Everything Tesla is bad. I don't want to own a Tesla. Why are we doing that? Why are we cutting off our nose to spite our face because of what this dude thinks? He's the richest man in the world. You not buying a car that might be great for you. He doesn't give a shit.
Right.
He's got you're not billions of dollars.
Because
he literally doesn't care. He could run. Twitter could run forever with no advertisers until the end of time. And he could just pay for it out of his own. He doesn't care what you do. You're only cutting off your nose to spite your face by not. I don't want a Tesla. I don't want one. I think they look stupid. I hate the interiors. I don't like the giant screen. I really don't want an EV to begin with. But some people, it's probably great for their lifestyle.
Right.
Some people really want an EV, but now they're not going to do it because they don't like the guy.
They were revolutionary, you know, and they did so many things that other manufacturers couldn't. And they basically, again, were a catalyst for other manufacturers kickstarting it.
It's so.
It's because everyone has to have their own.
It's tribalism.
Yeah, but it's more than that. You have to be able to broadcast your own viewpoints by what
you
drive.
It's literally war paint.
Exactly.
Is what it is.
Yeah.
You know, or it's sad. Mr. Joel Fetter. There he is. With no delay. We're good this time. I want to let you know I'm competing with you today. I'm highly caffeinated and super agitated since my the whole studio situation over here has been giving me trouble, but I'm highly caffeinated. Thanks to you, I like coffee now, so I've had a double espresso right here, and I've been going to town on it. Yeah, it's so I'm competing with you, and
I've noticed, to get right to the point, because I know because of all the technical difficulties, you have less time. I've been watching with very much dedication all the stuff that's been going on with the Cybertruck. And caveat, I don't care. Like, I don't care about the Cybertruck. I think it's stupid. I think it's ugly. I think Elon Musk is a, I have a love-hate relationship with him. I think he's brash. I think he's rude. But I also think he's a very intelligent guy. I think he probably isn't as intelligent as everyone says he is, but he's in a position where he gets to do a lot of cool stuff. He's taking 80% of the star whatever is taking 80% of the payloads up to space. Like, there's all kinds of cool shit going on, right? So I think he gets a lot of clout from that. But I think that things have taken a shift in terms of who likes Elon based on his political beliefs and his very brash libertarian go fuck yourself attitude that he has. And I wanted, and I sent you a DM, and I know that this is like, this is way out in left field, because I do know that you have a high amount of journalistic integrity. And I asked you this in terms of more of a, is this possible that this is happening? Is the journalism world being affected politically in its views of the Cybertruck? Are we being fair to the Cybertruck, or are we biased because we don't like Elon?
Can you define we?
When I say we, I'm talking broadly. I'm asking you to comment on the journalism sphere as a whole.
So, all right, fine. Let me dig into that. Look, I follow a lot of people, whether it's on his site or Threads or Blue Sky or whatever, right? And I follow the people from CNBC who are tech and Tesla reporters, and I follow Automotive News, and I follow people that work with me in the industry, not with me on my team, but of course them too, but also people that don't work on our team, right? And here's what I'll say. Real journalists that work at a real outlet, whether it, and I don't care whether you're right, left, whatever, CNN, Fox, us, Merge, these are real outlets, right? These are real news organizations, real media outlets. I can't speak to every company. So I can't speak to every employee of CNN or Fox or CNBC or whatever, right? But the people I follow, the people I respect as a journalist, having journalistic integrity, and sure, they've probably made their views known on how they feel about Elon, as I have as well. But I think that there's no question in my mind, the people that I respect can absolutely separate their feelings from Elon from fact and fiction for Cybertruck or pick any Tesla, right? That's just the hot new model, but Roadster, or that's Pie in the Sky, or Semi, or X, or 3, or whatever you want to pick. We're just talking about Cybertruck because it's the new one, right? Mm-hmm. I can have different conversations, as I believe people that I respect can, about Elon and the Cybertruck. And I don't believe that my views of Elon impact Cybertruck. Now, a lot of things that Cybertruck are because and dictated by Elon, and those are different than me, how I feel about Elon himself, right? Certain mm-hmm. decisions about the Cybertruck were made because of Elon. That's different.
So do you think those decisions are good?
Does that make sense?
Do you think those decisions are good? Do you think that the Cybertruck existing because of Elon is a good thing or a bad thing?
I think that's a really broad question. I think there's certain things. No, I think there's certain things about the Cybertruck that are really innovative and move the industry forward in a huge way. And they will have huge ramifications. And ironically, some of them are really good. And some of them are good, but also bad at the same time. And I can dive into that, although we're going to run short on time. I guarantee it. And then some of them are just stupid. Like, it's just stupid. And some of them, I have a long list of serious, serious concerns about public safety and people both in the truck and out of the truck, mm-hmm. as do other people who understand science and engineering and physics, yes. and even the most basic level.
To be fair, I mean, especially when we're talking about pedestrians, getting run over by a Cybertruck and getting run over by a Hummer, in the end, really isn't going to feel that much different in the crosswalk, right? Because we're talking about super pointy edges.
Your family and getting hit by a Hummer in, and by the way, the Hummer's gonna be theoretically never gonna reach volume production that this thing could theoretically supposedly reach. You're talking about a weight difference. What I'm talking about, and we can talk about this in a second, is a design and material and structural difference. And so if I was your family in a Volkswagen Golf, I'd rather get hit by a Hummer than a Cybertruck, probably.
I'm just thinking of the person that's driving either one, which individual I think would be more likely to crash into me, the person in the Hummer or the person in the Cybertruck.
I'm not sure they're that far off a demo. I think that's probably a Venn diagram.
It seems like, unfortunately, it has become politicized. And I feel like the person that's
so
going to...
So many things have been politicized in the last couple
years. It's unfortunate.
Politicized.
I am going... Anyone is going to look... It's almost like looking at a Prius when they came... Priuses are different now, right? Priuses are...
Now.
Yeah. Okay, hold on.
It's
that's pretty damn
impressive looking.
I don't know.
200 some horsepower.
I don't know.
It's pretty quick.
You said... Chris. We said it was cool.
No, I did not. I said it was the beginning of the dissolution of what makes a car cool. When we're calling a Prius cool, something with a CVT transmission cool, some hybrid shit cool, calling the Prius cool is the end of cool.
Maybe they just made the Prius cool.
No, they didn't.
Could be.
Why don't we talk about the truck? I literally have 21 minutes.
I'm sorry. Jake just triggered me right there. I'm just saying, I feel like you'll be able to look at a Tesla Cybertruck. I guess it's not even a Tesla Cybertruck, just a Cybertruck. You won't even look at a Cybertruck and not be able to just make a judgment about that person in the same way as
That statement, by the way, wouldn't have been said about 4 years ago. That's Elon's fault. So I don't have any like thoughts and prayers. I don't know what to tell you, man. I got a lot of people, friends, family, or people that don't even fall in either of those categories. And they'll tell me, I love my Tesla. I don't like that I own a Tesla and I'm associated with Musk and Co. And that's a whole different thing. And that's brought on by him. But let's not look.
I think that's not just brought on by him. I think that's brought on by both sides. Mm. I think both sides love to fight. And I think both sides love to get in the ring.
I think that he's made his views very clear, dude. Alex.
Oh yeah, that dude is in the ring alone. Like, fight me. Let's go. Let's fight.
Look, we got 20 minutes. So here's the deal. I don't like Elon Musk. I think he is a waste of space, horrid human being who's changed a lot of history and made a lot of things better, like for electrification and space travel and all those things. But at a human level, not a good person. But that is completely separate.
Neither was Mr. Ford. Mr. Ford was a terrible person
also
too.
Also not a good person.
Right.
Horrible human being.
It's almost like these people that get in these positions are neurotic geniuses. Like it almost takes like some kind of
like,
crazy person.
I don't want to waste time on discussing Elon
right.
Musk.
Okay, okay. Okay. Let's talk about the Cybertruck.
My view on Elon truck. Musk and the truck are different. Totally
okay.
different.
Is the Cybertruck good? Do you have a recommend? Like, I don't know if Motor Authority. Okay, let's take that. Let's do what we can. You know, you haven't driven it, but would you recommend? Do you want? Let me say this. Do you want to drive it?
Yeah, of course.
Why?
It's interesting, and it's my job, and I want to drive it and be able to write about it. But here's the deal. So, it's stupid. I like a huge fundamental level. It looks stupid. Like mm-hmm. just like the look of it is stupid. It's dumb, right? There's a functionality level of that's dumb. Like, first off, just so we're clear, there's four people. Despite what they said there are three, but there were four outlets, YouTube channels, whatever you want to call them. They basically got their hands on this thing before the reveal. And then they had 24-hour lag or 12-hour lag or whatever. And then they got the post about it. Every one of them called a review on YouTube. None of those things were a review. One of them bordered on an ad, frankly. And it's weird because I actually respect most of those people and their outlets. So that whole thing was a little shaky. But MK, Marquilis Brown, he did the most interesting one.
Yeah.
He did the most interesting one where he actually walked through his feature and function. He revealed more than the actual reveal did. And he did a frunk test where he put two piece of luggage into it and to see whether it closed or not. And then one way they wouldn't. And then he flipped them around. Then it did close. So it was showing like a volume thing, but no one put a piece of plywood in it. Nobody talked about the hitch and put a boat behind it. Nobody talked about the limitations of raising, like trying to dump something into the bed, whether you're using a skid loader or whatever. Like, these are truck things. We talked about this with the Lightning. These are truck things, right? And the Rivian is a truck, but they designed it to be an adventure truck where you go off road. This is a truck that is made to look your tiny pee-pee look cool when you go to Starbucks.
Well, it's going to stay. It's not functional. The target market of this truck is anyone going to truck with it?
No, you're not going to truck with it. So, but here, like, let's get, so I want to talk about the positive because I know you think that like, I'm just going to shit all over this thing because of Elon, right?
Wait, hold on.
That are really interesting.
Is it okay that this thing is dumb? Because I feel like a long time ago, design was way riskier. Okay,
because he took a huge gamble and this is going to be really interesting to play out with his company. So I absolutely
I love that it's kind of dumb. I love that someone did something completely different.
I'm not entirely sure the investors are going to feel that way.
I don't
way.
Care about them. I don't own any stock in any automotive companies. I just don't. I'm just saying, if you look at the way design was in like the 50s and 60s, everybody was doing crazy shit because there was no standard for anything yet. Everybody
but
was
hang
making
on a second. Rivian did crazy shit with packaging. They took a clean slate, innovative packaging. That is one of the most innovative packaging of any new vehicle you can buy today.
It is. You're right.
It was so creative. Does it look somewhat traditional? Sure. But is it super crazy functional? Is it innovative? Is it interesting? Hell yeah. And is it that way without being compromised and stupid? Also, yes.
I like the idea that it's kind of dumb, though. I love the idea that it's so far out there.
It's unique.
Well, right. Yeah.
I'm an adult.
Okay, tell me about what you like, what you're excited for about the Cybertruck.
Here's what's crazy and cool. I'm going to give 5 minutes on this. I'm going to talk about 10 minutes of the 5 minutes of the shitting on it, then we'll recap.
Okay.
Because I've got another meeting.
Yeah.
So the variable ratio steer with the drive-by, steer-by wiring, hang on. I want to be clear about something. Nothing they did with this truck, despite Elon's claims, they invented or reinvented the wheel at all. This is more of a case of Apple where they took something someone else developed a design and they're making it much more into visible production, right? The iPhone really didn't break any molds. They just put it all together, right? So Lexus had a system like this. I drove it over a year ago, right? Other people have designed this. Infiniti had this in the Q50 back in 2013, but because it was early days, they had a mechanical backup system attached to it. But it wasn't using the mechanical system. It was all steer by wire. So over a decade ago, I drove a car on the road that you could buy today. And you could buy a used one that's a decade old with this system. It just only had two redundancies instead of three. And then had the third one was the mechanical, just so we're clear.
Right.
So, but the fact that they put this in this vehicle, in a mass production vehicle with no additional redundancies or mechanical, that's interesting. Super interesting. Terrible application. Much smarter would have been either A, in the Model S X when they had the yokes, or B, and much more applicable. Because when I drove this in a Lexus on a racetrack and then on an autocross course in Europe, I said, this seems like it'd be a really smart move in a sports car for either the racetrack or back canyon roads. So if they had developed this and put it into the Roadster, should they ever actually build that, that would have been really interesting. This seems a really dumb application of that. But it's a cool technology.
Why didn't make it into the X or Y, do you think?
Say it again?
Why didn't it make it into the X or Y?
Or my gut tells me it wasn't done. It's a huge, they're using the 48-volt electrical architecture, which those cars are ancient. They're over a decade old now, and they didn't update the electrical architecture that much. The wiring harness got revised when they gave the new screens, but not like overhauled. The electrical architecture didn't. It's just the wiring harness. And so you need a clean sheet platform. That's my gut. Engineering cost,
right?
So that's innovative. The mega castings, where basically this truck is essentially two to three parts underneath all the panels, right? The actual panel, the structure of that truck is basically two or three parts, and they're basically one casting. That's super innovative and super smart, but there's some downsides to that we'll talk about in a second. But it's interesting, and it revolutionizes to the point of Henry Ford doing the assembly line the way you build a car. Other things they've done that they took from Model Y, they started with Model Y. They used to, everyone built a chassis and stuck a battery pack into it, right? And then you had a floor that was, then you bolt everything to.
Yep.
They started doing with Model Y where the chassis was open, you put the battery pack in, and then you bolted your seats and all the other crap inside the car to the actual battery. You got rid of your floor. You're saving weight, you're saving parts, your efficiencies of how you build a car. The downsides to this, we're going to talk about in a second, are also going to match some of the downsides to those mega castings. But it saves weight and it revolutionizes how you build a car. That is when Toyota bought a Model Y, took it apart and said, holy shit, we're a decade behind. Was that. That okay. And the mega castings. They're also using mega castings on the Model Ys, much smaller, where the front entire substructure with assembly for the towers for the suspension, those are all one piece. Huge pieces. Not Cybertruck huge, but for a normal car, huge. So this is all was beta tested on some of the early Ys and then moved over here. 48 volts, getting rid of the 12-volt electrical architecture. Saves weight, so much wiring. A modern Ferrari has over 16 miles of wiring in it. It's a Ferrari.
Yeah.
The amount of wires in like a Cayenne or any of these cars is so heavy. There's so much different intricacies and the coding that's going into it. They're not using CAN bus and Ethernets to run this like they are. A lot of people are, but they're not doing it through the whole system like this. This is efficient. It's smart. These are smart things.
Is this stuff that only a company like Tesla can do because they don't have a previous architecture that they're building off of? Or like, why has no one else done this yet? It seems so obvious.
It definitely makes bureaucracies. I think bureaucracies of someone like Ford or GM or whatever get in the way.
Somebody's cousin owned the copper mining company.
Ford's doing the 48 volt system and all. They're planning a lot of these things on their T3, their three row crossover, and their next gen electric pickup truck
that's
being built in Tennessee.
Joel, imagine how bright my halogen light bulbs could be on a 48 volt electrical system in a car. How many amps? How many watts?
Hang on. I have 10 minutes. Let's get to the dumb.
All right. Let's talk about the dumb stuff. What do we got?
The dumb. When that truck gets in an accident, I'm not even going to talk about the safety in a second. We'll get to that. Everything I just talked to you about the efficiencies, the mega castings, shit being bolted to a battery, that's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
That's a huge problem. That's a repair problem. That's a, we're just going to total it out problem. And I know this truck's like a super strong exoskeleton. So like just take the Model Y for instance, right? Because they'll all be like this eventually. It makes cars more recyclable, easier to build, harder to fix.
It's almost like if I broke my arm, you had to replace my hand and my, you know, upper arm and my shoulder.
If you broke right here and you had to basically just go from here down.
That's, yeah, exactly.
You might be easier to build, but you're harder to repair. Yeah. Okay. Two.
Maybe I could get a bionic arm though. That would be dope.
It's not bulletproof. Okay. I've talked to a lot of people. It's not bulletproof. And the glass is not bulletproof. If you watch the video, they didn't use a stainless steel ball when they did the glass again. He didn't throw it at 90 miles an hour, or 120 miles an hour, which baseball players can actually throw it. He chucked it and he just lobbed it. It's not, you're in trouble. I can't. Thoughts and prayers to the first person YouTuber that dies. I guarantee you we will see this. Someone will test the bulletproof and die. Thoughts and prayers. Not. I don't really have time for thoughts and prayers for that because that's whatever. Darwinism. So last and my most important thing, if you watch the crash test, you should be terrified that he's going to be on the road with your family.
There's no crumple zone.
It does not crumple.
Doesn't crumple.
There's no crumple zone. It doesn't crumple.
And guess what happens if that doesn't crumple? Guess who does? You.
Yeah.
Guess who's absorbing the energy? Watch the crash test again. The front dummy probably broke its neck. The back did not have its airbags go off. And the rear axle either broke or just fell apart.
Do we have any crash ratings for this thing yet from the NHTSA?
Oh, they claim it's just super. No, I can't wait to do all the crash tests.
How can the
are waiting for this and they're like terrified. Also, it's going to obliterate someone.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't bend.
Yeah.
So it terrifies me.
We need to, what we need is we need. Have you seen Demolition Man
and all that stuff?
Have you seen Demolition Man?
The foam. Oh God, he's going to talk about the foam. Ever.
The foam in the car.
This is one of the greatest movies ever.
It solves everything.
Do you know Matt Farah has a Demolition Man bathroom with the three seashells and everything?
Oh, man. Oh, man. That sounds pretty good.
Okay. Anyway, look, some innovation, real innovation here. Probably not the right product for some of the innovation to be debuting. I think that Tesla cult will buy it in droves for a while, but you're going to run out of them. I think that flippers are going to buy it in droves. But the flipping, I mean, Rivians are already already tanked on the flipping, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, once people get them, they're going to get them. And I think it's going to have a problem. I do not see any reason that Rivian or Ford or anyone else should be concerned about this thing long term. I think that it's ugly. I think it's compromised. And also, we should also just, I have 7 minutes. We should also discuss one other thing. Those range ratings, just like every other Tesla, there's different multipliers that the EPA allow. Everyone's gas fuel economy has to be the same. For electric cars, there are different multipliers that you can use to calculate your EPA ratings on an electric vehicle. Everyone in the industry, except for one automaker, uses the same multiplier. So everyone else's ratings are pretty reasonably accurate, except for one automaker who uses a different multiplier and has a much better rating on paper than in reality. And that automaker is Tesla. And that automaker has also just built a truck. So those range ratings for that truck are in real range ratings if you were using the same
multiplier. How did they get away with that, Joel?
Because the EPA allows it. I don't understand why. The EPA allows you to choose your multiplier.
Well, they probably don't want any hurdles for anyone. They just want as many EVs as possible.
I mean, I think back in the day, there weren't that many EVs, so this wasn't a big deal. It wasn't a big discussion point, right? But now we're about to have a flood of these things. By the way, I want to also mention, again, every automaker uses the same multiplier except for one.
Yeah. Speaking of regulation,
they invent all their own shit anyway. I mean, everything they do is inventing their own. They live in their own world.
Speaking of regulation, though, Joel, with the whole NHTSA, don't they mandate some type of crumple zone? Or is it just...
They gave it 5 stars, he said. I mean, they said it's great.
No.
Well, I thought you said it was great. Truck.
No.
He said it was great. They did not have this crash tested yet. By the way,
how can they sell it without crash testing it?
So that's a huge, interesting, you should ask that since I have 5 minutes left. You can't sell a vehicle without crash testing or EPA ratings. At that delivery event, the EPA had certification on file. I dug it up that they submitted their efficiency ratings. They were not approved.
Hmm.
No one's seen an official crash test. So the next, right. So it's and they're not doing volume deliveries. They delivered like 12 that day. It's unclear if those trucks were actually delivered and registered to those owners or if those are owned and registered to Tesla right now as marketing vehicles. It is unclear if those things have been crash tested and actually EPA certified, which you cannot sell a vehicle in America without those two things being done.
Yeah, that's.
We actually don't know if Tesla really finished that truck and if those trucks are now owned by those people.
I love all this. In closing, I love all this. It's so interesting. It's so interesting, and I love talking.
I want my life to be more boring than this. Life is too short for this. I have 99 other things to deal with. I certainly don't have time for this nonsense.
Yeah. You're too busy thinking Priuses are cool. This might be the last time we ever talk.
Prius is pretty freaking cool looking.
This might be the last time we speak.
Can you please, Joel, when you get one of the new Priuses, drive it over to Chris's house?
I've already had two of them. Just so you know. So Ralph Giles, you know, head of design at Stellantis.
Yeah.
He and I were talking at what auto show? It was New York Auto Show. So it was in spring. And he and I were chatting. He likes my auto show shirt that he tried to buy it off my back once. It was pretty funny. because it has little cars on the collar. It was custom. Anyway, he and I were talking about the Prius. This is the man that designed the Challenger and the Charger and the Daytona and the Hellcats and all this other stuff.
Rest in peace.
And he said, we went and bought one immediately. He's like, that A-pillar was the decision. It's pretty aggressive. And he's right. You can hit your head on it. But he's like, thing looks pretty good. And I'm like, it does, right? Ralph Giles told me that that thing looks pretty cool.
I don't know, man. I'm wary.
Design decisions a little more than you.
I understand. That's valid. I don't want this slippery slope to be like, well, the Prius is now cool. And then everything all of a sudden is like, we're aiming at Prius for our.
Well, hang on like, a second. What if they named this cool car and you saw it and you've been like, damn, that's pretty good looking.
Okay. Let's, I don't know. Maybe. I'm not sure.
Just because it has the Prius name on the back, it can't be cool. 100%. It looks cool.
The heritage of where things came from is important. If some company just randomly, if Porsche never existed and someone randomly decided to make a rear engine car in the late 90s and was like, here you go. Everybody been like, what the fuck is this? No way. So that, I mean, you can't really do that. I'm just worried about if this is going to become our metric for cool and everything kind of like slippery slopes, and pretty soon the Prius is cool. And then we're, that's our aim.
Everyone's definition of cool is different.
I was going to say, it's subjective.
Rivian is cool, and you think the Rivian is just another truck. Like, I mean, everything.
I think
is
the
Rivian,
Joel, I think the Rivian is cool. I would love to own a Rivian.
I would love to own a Rivian.
I would love to. It is the only car I've ever driven that scared me. It scared me, Joel.
I drove a Sapphire. I got 2 minutes. I drove a Sapphire to 0-60 in 1.89 seconds.
God. Wow.
That was fast.
That, like, that is uncomfortable. Fast.
It makes you take your foot off the pedal.
You can't breathe. It is, you are being pushed on your chest. It is physically like trying to pull yourself out the seat.
Get another one, and you and I can do the $100 bill test in it.
The dashboard?
Yeah. Let's try it.
I don't think you'd hit it.
We have to put it like just out of reach where I'd have to lean forward, you know?
Yeah, but dude, it's so fast, it might fly towards you.
Yeah, maybe it would just
You
be
have
like,
to stick it down. Put
yeah, we'd
tape.
Have to like.
I will tell you, I have 1 minute. I drafted my review. It's not live yet. I'm not entirely sure I've ever driven a car where you go from 70 to you go straight to jail speed so fast.
Yeah. Yeah. I know.
Pizza brakes the size of pizzas. the carbon ceramics, that car, it's too expensive. It's $250,000. But it was, 1,234 horsepower. And the reason, it could have had 1,990 some horsepower, but they wouldn't have gotten over 400 miles of range. So they dialed them back.
Wow.
Crazy. Well, Joel, we look forward to talking to you again in January. We're going to do the Motor Authority car thing.
I'm scheduled for next week for Best Car to Buy.
Oh, Best Car to Buy is next week? All right. We'll see you next week. I don't have my calendar in front of me, and I need it, or I'm an
see
idiot.
See you in a week, guys.
All right. Take care, buddy.
Thank you.
It's truly sad. All right. Before we get into, I'm actually going to read you a letter I received after you run through this.
Oh, wow. You received a letter?
I did, like a handwritten letter.
Okay. I'm excited for that. Okay. Right. Yeah, let's talk a bit about CSF Cooling, Chris. They've always been at the forefront of quality products for a fair price, with a hitch history stretching over 7 decades and several continents, all mind you. Mm-hmm. They provide the best high performance and OEM plus cooling systems on the market today. They offer 3,000 and counting, over 3,000 different cooling applications for the most popular makes and models on the road. From classic copper brass radiators for Land Cruisers, Jeeps, and Datsuns to vintage 80s Mercedes, BMW, Audi, and Porsche platforms, all the way up to new vehicles. Check out their expanding classic series lineup and check them out online at csfrace.com or on social. Have we put out the fact that we have a Spanish language podcast, Chris?
Jake, that's not in the... It's not done yet.
I know. Okay. But this was something we were looking into.
We're trying. Yeah. Why?
I was
why
just
bring
thinking
this up?
Because I listened to it, and the only part I could figure out where we were at is when we started talking about that CSF ad, because it was like brass and copperito. That's all. It was funny.
Okay.
That's all.
Okay, dude.
That's all you got.
Okay. You lost me. Okay. I want to read this letter, and I should have read this in the beginning. I just had it off to the side, and I saw like a little corner of it sticking out like this. And I caught it out of the corner of my eye, and I forgot to read it.
Okay.
All right.
Let's hear it.
Hi, Chris. Dated October 26th. So it was a while ago, and I just got it. It was written and then mailed. Hi, Chris. Rachel here from Long Creek, Oregon. Well, just wait. Well, actually, I'm writing this from the middle of North Dakota, where the train I'm riding to my mother's memorial service in Red Wing has been parked for several hours. Since I know you have a passion for the story, I felt compelled to write you to round out the story surrounding that 1978 Renault 5 in Long Creek.
Yeah.
Peter told you that it was it's in cursive, so it's a little hard to read sometimes. Yeah. Peter told you that it was while on a road trip in that car that he was introduced to me, but there are more stories to tell. He didn't tell you about when he accidentally filled the car with diesel fuel, causing it to have a meltdown on the West Seattle Bridge. He didn't junk it. He fixed it. He didn't tell you that when he and his guys were installing the giant sashes that had made for an old industrial building in Tacoma, he transported the hundreds of insulated glass panes to the site in the LeCar. The more macho dudes who had to drive pickups referred to him as, quote, that fucking hippie. unquote. He didn't tell you that when he lost his wood shop to the landlord and he was living on fumes, that he lived in his car and continued running his company, making windows on site. He wrote out his bids in coffee shops and gleaned edible food from dumpsters. That's when he ran into me again. We rented a house together and he parked the car in the driveway where it sat unused for 7 years. Puddles developed on the floor, mildew coated the steering wheel and seat belts. We drove my Honda instead because it wasn't associated with a terrible time. When the house was sold out from under us, we hired a friend mechanic to unfreeze the clutch and we wiped the mildew away. He fired it up and for weeks we coaxed it back to life, driving it gingerly around the neighborhoods. We positioned chopsticks on top of the headrest to keep the sagging ceiling fabric off of our heads. Slowly, with the steady application of TLC, it began to heal, and along with it, Peter's spirit. When the landlords forced us again to move out, we moved to Long Creek. The LeCar had not been driven on an interstate for 20 years. We packed it with our things, and lo and behold, it survived the journey. I can't tell you how many times I've pushed that car down the street so Peter can jumpstart it when we then reverse the ring gear. It has now been driven thousands of miles through intense heat and scary snowstorms and has even ended up in the ditch. I love riding in the LeCar. Oh, it says, let me rephrase that. I love riding in LeCar. Just the two of us in our own little world, trundling around the road, getting to where we need to go. This story includes you, too. We had a wonderful time meeting the Road Rally folks and seeing you again. After everyone left town, we were so wound up that all we could do was sit on the porch and have a beer. Warmest wishes, Rachel.
That's amazing.
It feels really cool. Really good to be part of that story. And that many of really you cool. are now part of that story for yep. Peter and Rachel.
That is
Jake,
fantastic.
Have you heard about the Fed's vehicle kill switch mandate?
Oh, yes. I remember when we heard about this.
Yeah, saw a lot about this online. I posted about it, and people freaked out. They said, it's not a kill switch. Our rating was false, said the USA Today. Assessment, false, said the Associated Press. We rated mostly false, concluded PolitiFact. Snopes said it's a mixture of true and false. This law is essentially pitched as a kill switch so people can't drive drunk. Okay. Section 24, and I'm going to read through some of this and we can, you know, I just want to inform people.
But let me clarify. When they're saying it's false, what does that mean? So they
people
they
were saying
on
that basically the government was going to turn off your car with like a radar pulse.
And so these then outlets were saying, that's not true.
That's what people did with it. They seized on it and they went overboard in their criticisms of it. And when they really should have just boiled down to the facts, and which are scary enough, in my opinion. Section 24.220 of the law explicitly states, quote, to ensure the prevention of alcohol-impaired driving fatalities, advanced drunk and impaired or distracted driving prevention technology must be standard equipment in all new passenger motor vehicles. The legislation then goes on to define the technology as a computer system that can, quote, listen, passively monitor the performance of a driver of a motor vehicle and can, quote, prevent or limit motor vehicle operation if an impairment is detected.
Wow.
Definitions in this section. Advanced and drunk impaired driving prevention technology. The term advanced drunk. It gets into some really legally stuff. Okay. The agreement directs the NHTSA to emphasize its research on driver monitoring and to identify promising technologies that will reduce or eliminate impaired and distracted driving. The agreement expects the NHTSA to prioritize resources to meet the rulemaking requirements of section blah, 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 of the blah, 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 and to issue the final rule within the timeline set, which is by, I think, 2024. The agreement also expects the NHTSA to notify the House and Senate committees on appropriations if funding, staffing, or other resource constraints are delaying or hindering the rulemaking. So this hasn't been set in stone yet, but it has been written in. This is going to happen. Okay, so this is going to happen. You are going to have, and I looked into some of like the technical stuff here. It's basically going to monitor your eyes what it's going to do. It's going to monitor your eyes and your attention. And if you...
I'm still skeptical that this is going to go through.
It did already.
This is law?
This was
This is, that's a great question.
This is not law.
I don't think it's law yet.
No. The reason.
But I think they're.
So do you remember when we talked about this on Discord, which everyone should check out? We can give a little pitch for Discord after this, because our official unofficial legal consult for Overcrest, Dave, came on and basically wrote up.
By the way, I put Dave on this.
Yes. And from what I remember, he said, if this becomes law, there would be so much backlash and so many people filing suits against the NHTSA that it would never happen.
Okay. Public law 117-58 has been passed to authorize funds for federal aid highways, highway safety programs and transit programs and for other purposes. So they basically have committed funding to investigate it. And make sure it happens by.
It's super scary though, because you're basically saying now if this were the case, they would mandate that you have to be able to be watched all the time
in your car,
as you're
all
driving.
The time in your car.
Yes.
So for me, I was thinking about this. Is there a kill switch for my arms just in case I decide to beat my wife?
Right. Yeah. No.
Right. Just in case, it's possible.
Obviously not.
I could beat my wife. I could do it. No, I could go in there right now. And punch her in the face. Is there something?
You're taking an extreme analogy or example. But here's a better analogy.
This is Minority Report. We're presuming the guilt.
Right.
That we're presuming everyone's going to be guilty, so that we need to monitor this. You need to be monitored. Even though you may never drive drunk in your life, we need to monitor you just so you don't.
Yeah.
The World Health Organization estimates that roughly 55% of domestic abuse perpetrators were drinking alcohol prior to assault. This is my take on this. On average, nearly 20 people per minute are physically abused by an intimate partner in the United States. During 1 year, this equates to more than 10 million women and men. That's over 5 million people per year as a result of alcohol abuse. So where is my arm kill switch? Where is it? Why aren't we kill switching people's arms?
Because this isn't a regulated product.
Oh, alcohol's not regulated?
No, I'm talking
just ban alcohol. Problem solved.
I was trying to think of a better analogy, like your refrigerator, like or your blender. Like it would, just because you could potentially put your arm in the blender and cause yourself harm, should that
Jake,
have a kill switch?
There is danger everywhere.
Correct. Yes.
I'm going to let you in on something, Jake. You're going to die. You're going to die. I'm going to die. None of us know how we're going to die.
Right.
We take risks every day. Every day we take risks. You don't go drive in the snow. You took a risk. What do you think the tax revenue generated by the alcohol sales in California is?
Is it less than in Wisconsin?
That's a great question. Tax revenue generated by alcohol sales in California is $428 million per year.
Wow.
Per year. That's $13 billion. $558 million, $109,000 in total since they started collecting taxes on alcohol earlier in the 20th century. Just so we can understand, these are big numbers, right? These are huge numbers.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a Yugo for sale the other day. It was $7,000.
Okay.
California has collected 1.9 million Yugos worth of alcohol taxes.
Uh-huh.
That's
a weird measurement, but okay.
What? It's
you could have this many used Yugos.
You could have that many used Yugos. Anyway, I was going to play the More You Know clip, but none of our clips work anymore. The more you know, just think of it like, why don't we just ban alcohol? Because it's a huge problem. It's a huge problem, right?
Yeah. And yet we're going the other
drunk
way.
Drivers.
With it, because now we just legalized.
I didn't want to put the drunk driving thing on it because everybody knows this, right? Everybody knows that drunk driving deaths cause this. So I threw the domestic abuse thing in there. It's like maybe something that people don't
totally
think
different.
About. Alcohol is a huge problem in society.
Yes.
Just look at Russia. Huge problem. Russia's alcoholism problem is insane. Oh. It's
okay,
really, really bad.
I was like, I thought you were
it's
just talking
really
about
bad.
Their politics or something.
No, no. Okay. No. Well, I mean, we could probably tie it two and two
together.
No,
but what my point is, Chris, in this country, it feels like we're going the other way with it. Instead of banning and regulating stuff, now we're legalize it all, right?
Yeah. Which look what happened in like Oregon, Washington. They have a huge, huge drug problem. Everything else, not good at all.
All right.
Tell me a little bit about the Drivers Club.
Yeah, Drivers Club. We have exclusive content. We have access to things that other people can't have, such as a Discord channel, which you should check out the Discord channel regardless of where their Drivers Club member or not.
I get a notification every time someone joins. I had to turn it off.
It's a ton. Yes, it's a really cool active community where you can talk with other people. There's projects, there's forums. It's amazing. That being said, you should go over and do it one better and become a Drivers Club member. Overcrestproductions.com/Drivers Club.
$5.
As little all as
we do, guys, all we do in the Drivers Club is make fun of you guys that aren't in it.
That's true.
That's it. A bunch of cheapskates.
Freeloaders.
One Red Bull a month. Just don't drink one and sign up for the Drivers Club instead.
Because we energize you more than a single Red Bull could.
I'm highly caffeinated today, which is just fine. Jake. Porsche Panorama Sport Turismo, as you now know, is dead.
It's the third generation Porsche Panorama. Good.
Why don't you have one?
Because we saw they're very expensive.
Yeah, but you could have had one instead of your Cayenne, right?
At that time, I don't know if we could have.
50, 60 grand?
Yeah, but they were not. They were like, I don't even know if you can get one for under 100 right now.
Really?
Sport Turismo. Yeah.
The third generation Porsche Panorama will be exclusively offered as a sedan when it goes on sale in 2025. The long roof Sport Turismo version added to the range for the 2018 model year isn't coming back. And Autoblog sat down with top Porsche executive to find out why. Quote, when it comes to the customer's point of view, it's a little bit of a design piece. The practicality of the car doesn't change much compared to the standard one because we have a huge hatch. The sedan's hatch is big and the Sport Turismo's is more or less the same.
Yeah, but it looks so much better.
Porsche doesn't specifically break down Panamera sales by body style, but his comments suggest the Sport Turismo will enter the pantheon of automotive history as one of the brand's rare series produced models from its era. Panorama sales totaled 34,000 units. If the Sport Turismo
this will be something I want to buy then in the future because it'll be rare.
10% even if 10% of sales were the wagon, they sold under 3,400 of them.
See, that's awesome.
Rare.
I want one of those.
Rare. Extremely, extremely rare. So I asked myself, why Americans don't buy wagons?
Well,
what is a
we talked about this. We talked about this.
Yeah, but we're going to talk about it
a while.
No,
I know, but I'm going to say, as I said then, it's because there was a stigma associated with wagons from...
I don't think that's what it is. I thought about this a lot today. I don't think that's it.
I think
it's a practicality thing.
No. No, because people don't use their cars for practical things regardless. That's why you have either the pickup truck. Most people that need space like that or need to haul a 4x8 sheet of plywood have a pickup truck instead.
Yeah, but that has nothing to do with stigmas. That's practicality, what you just said right there. I need to haul a plywood.
Yeah, so you buy a pickup truck instead of a wagon.
That doesn't have anything to do with a stigma for wagons.
No, what I was going to say about the stigma with wagons, though, is think to the 70s, right? When the people who are buying now, their parents had a wagon, and it was like the minivan of that time. And now all of a sudden, we went to the minivan, and everyone bought minivans. And, our generation would never buy a minivan because our parents hauled us around as kids in a minivan, and those are
lame.
So
what's your excuse for a wagon? What's Nikki's excuse for wagon? You guys won't own a wagon. You just won't. You just will not do it.
We've had a couple.
Yeah, but you will not on purpose. You bought like
we were very close to buying like an S4 Avant.
Well, you've told me before. This is news to me. You've told me very, very much that Nikki will never own a wagon.
She's into it now.
All of a sudden. I love that.
Well, yeah. No, I got her around that.
So
no,
I want to
Sport
just
Turismo
go through
Panamera 100%.
Exercise
that'll
a little
be in the future.
Yes, we would all love that. What is a wagon's primary purpose and market? Who would be buying one?
It's a family hauler.
Right. And it's a dumb family hauler. It doesn't work well for it. Jack and Jill with Jack and Junior and Jill Junior and all their shit don't fit in a wagon.
They don't, though.
No, they don't. The only ones they fit in is like a Mercedes or a Volvo that's got like a little bit more space. And then they got the third row. People want the third row. If you're going to pick between a wagon that seats five and an SUV that seats seven or eight, what are you going to do?
Yeah, the SUV.
You're going to pick the SUV. You're not going to pick the car. We're in America. There's tons of space. You know, the red-blooded, you know, freedom unit-loving Americans are not going to buy a Volvo or a Mercedes. They're just not going to do it.
Nope,
probably
I agree.
Because they don't want one, and they're expensive.
Yep.
So what do? You buy a minivan. wrong. You buy an SUV because minivans equal capitulation.
Exactly.
It is when you buy a minivan. Yep. You're admitting that your life is over when you buy a minivan. You're admitting that it's changed you so much that you need to buy a minivan.
Yeah.
That's why we don't buy minivans. That is a stigma.
Yes. And that's wagons a stigma because when minivans first came out, they were super popular because they were super practical. Like, I grew up in a minivan, right?
Yes.
But we don't want them because that was our parents' thing.
The minivans are a stigma. The wagon is practicality because the wagon does the same thing as a sedan, except you can put a beach ball in the back. That's it. You cannot fit enough people. You can't fit enough stuff.
I see what you mean.
The golden retriever doesn't fit back there with all the picnic stuff and the camping stuff. I love wagons. Jesse loves her wagon. But in terms of what the Freedom Unit loving person is going to do, they're going to go buy a truck. They're going to buy an SUV. Yeah. They're going to have the third row. They're going to be able to 100%. Fit all the whole soccer team in there. It's just what it is. That's true. I don't know if this has anything to do with a Porsche Panamera Sport Turismo because I don't know. Porsche doesn't sell anything with a third row anyways. Like, you can't put a third row in a Cayenne.
No, you cannot.
You should. Right?
That'd be cool.
If we're going to build an SUV, why don't they just make one?
Absolutely.
Anyway, that's it. I think that's all we have time for today.
Yeah.
We can save a couple more of these for next time. We've been going on and on and on and on. Unless you have anything else you want to talk about.
Not really.
No?
I'm done with you, Chris.
Are you going to be able to work on any car projects, do you think? Or are you just supremely screwed for the next all year. Winter? Yeah. Yeah. What are you going
to
do?
It's funny. We were just talking about this because I need to get the garage outfitted here before I move all the crap over from my existing garage.
But you can't because the wall's falling in.
No, that I can do in the spring. I don't need to worry about that right now.
So you need to insulate it.
I need to redo the wiring. Before I do that, I need to pull the wiring, which is going to be today's project, or was supposed to be. Mm. But this went until 3 p.m., so there went that project.
Yeah, 2 hours of your day. Oh, 2 hours a week devoted to this. Oh, no.
I know. I'm saying it's awesome, but usually we record earlier in the day.
We do, but we had tons of technical difficulties.
Yes,
we
need
help. Do you want me to come down any other day this week and help you rip wiring out?
Sure.
I can. Let's just ask.
Okay. I'll figure out when that's happening. And then we need to insulate it. We need to get some paneling up, get all my crap moved over, get the hoist back in, get the furnace up.
Whew. Hey, do you need a heater?
No, I don't need your industrial warehouse heater.
Why
aren't you able to return that thing?
No. I don't think so. I haven't tried, but I don't have the box or anything anymore. I got rid of it all.
I mean, maybe when we put a pole barn up, I'll put that in there.
No pole barns.
That's the application for it.
No pole barns, Jake.
Why no pole barns?
Because they're boring. You need to build something that matches your house. You need to build something that matches the look of your house.
Well, that's what the garage down here is, right? And I just want to put
the garage down there,
and that's going to be the studio and the shop.
How much are you going to spend on that garage downstairs compared to the garage up by the house?
I'm so confused by what you just said.
Because you have to build an attached garage. Otherwise, your wife is walking with a child 200 meters.
100%. Yes.
Right? Upstairs that just go to nowhere to a bunch of dirt. Like, it doesn't make any sense. None of that makes sense. You have a garage 200 meters from your house, and the stairs don't even go all the way to the house. They just go to a dead
100%.
End.
Yes. Yeah, that's
it makes no
that's
sense.
Correct. No, it doesn't. So that's where the driveway is going to go anyways. So I'm going to plow those stairs over.
Oh, that's kind of sad. I kind of like those stairs if they went somewhere.
I'm going to plow all this stuff over, the weird fairy tier garden thing.
Are you going to do the bronze pig?
No, I'm not.
Tell everybody the story of the pig. Tell the story of the pig.
Oh, my God.
And then say what I sent you.
All right. The previous owner of this place had basically a hobby farm here. And so they had a pole barn that had goats and pigs in it. And one day the goat apparently knocked over the heat lamp into the hay.
Isn't this how the Chicago fire started?
Probably.
Did a horse kick over a kerosene lamp or something?
I think so. Yeah. So basically the same thing happened here on my property for the previous owner and started everything on fire. And it created a vacuum because fire sucks all the air. So the previous owner wasn't able to get the door open because it was such a vacuum.
Whoa,
yeah,
really?
You didn't know this part? Yeah. No. And so she took her, she ran up the hill, got in her car, and rammed her car into the doors to break them inward. And the pig, Aura, was Aura the pig's the name, came running out, like badly burned. It's probably, I'm imagining, still smoking, you know, as she's running out. And
probably smelled really
then
good.
Then Aura, yeah, like smoke bacon. Aura, this yep. pig, realized that the goats and other animals were still in that fire and couldn't make it out. And she ran back into the blazing barn to yep. guide the goats out.
When was this? Circa when?
Probably like, 2018, I think. Yeah.
Okay. So where is Aura the pig now?
Okay. So Aura the pig was very, very burned, badly burned. And they took her to the U of M veterinary clinic. And they like flew in burn special, like human burn specialists, because like pig skin is very similar to humans.
This is how you know you live in the Western world.
Correct. Yes.
When this is what we're doing.
What I was going to say is like medical students, Nikki, like they used to practice suturing on pig skin or like flesh because it's so similar. And so they like, they've saved Aura the pig, you know, undue cost, right, to do all this. And that's the end of the happy story. Little did I know, though, and I didn't tell Nikki this part, that when all of the wildfires came through and the smoke was super bad here like a year ago, apparently Aura's respiratory system, she was so badly burned and smoking that the air quality was so bad that they had to put her down because she was basically like starving her oxygen. Yeah.
Oh, sad. Yeah. So what this comes down to.
Yes.
Is hero what? Pig.
Hero pig. Pig. Aura the hero pig. You can Google Aura the hero pig. Yes.
What?
You can. There's an article.
What did I send you?
You sent me a giant, like, bronze statue of a pig.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's only like $4,000.
Yeah. Plus shipping from the UK.
You could find a guy here that'll be able to do it. It's just an example. In Jake's backyard.
Why
in Jake's backyard
this?
Is like this little,
wasn't
like.
My pig?
I know, but it's the story must live on. You need to put a bronze, and it needs to be proud. Like not burned. You don't want it to be burned or anything like that. It's pre-burn Aura.
It's made so that it smokes.
But then there's steam that comes out.
That's terrible.
Yeah, but I think that would be better than your little fairy thing that you've got.
Yeah, no, all those are getting plowed over. Don't even care.
Plowed over. What do you mean plowed over? Hey, when are we going to look at that skid steer?
Right. So I'm going to get that skid steer and just plow him over.
When are we going?
Oh, my dad.
We need to take a jump pack with us. We need to take a jump pack and probably some diesel fuel.
No, you need ATF fuel or diesel 911 or whatever it is. Crack open the injector pump. And we're probably, it might even be a 24-volt SOS system. We're going to be more than just a jump pack.
Okay. All right. Well, that'll be fun. Like, I'm looking forward to that. Okay. That'll be good.
That'll be really fun. I was going to wait until I had the trailer that I can use to put this thing on.
We should have done it on Saturday when it was 50 degrees.
Yes, we should have. And my dad didn't even bring back the trailer. He didn't go up.
That's okay.
So, because I'd like to, like, if we're going to go get it, like, load it up, get it.
I wonder what it would be like driving that thing. So it's like, it's an hour, probably an hour and 40 minutes, an hour and a half from your house in Afton.
You want to drive the skid steer back to my house?
What would that be like?
You'd be terrible.
You could do it, though.
They go, 5 miles an hour?
Oh, they do better than that. Have you ever seen these things? They do more than five. I can walk 5 miles an hour without even getting into a jog.
5 miles.
All right, hold on. I got to look it up. Top speed cat skid steer. All right, what do we got?
Technically a Case brand, but yes.
Oh, oops. Okay, sorry. My bad. All right, what's the maximum speed of a skid steer? Skid steers typically can travel 10 to 12 miles per hour.
Okay, cool. 10 miles an hour.
There you go. It's almost 300% more than what you said.
Okay, but regardless, that's still going to be at least a 7-hour drive in the skid steer.
You know those little mini trucks?
Yeah.
The little, like, you know what I'm talking about. They're the Mazda things. Yep. Daihatsus or Toyotas or whatever. I want to do a road trip in one of those.
Okay.
I think it would be fun to do like a back roads only 30, 40 mile an hour
trip from like, I don't want to drive across the country, but I think it would be cool to come from like Missouri or something and just take back roads all the way up and stop and get a little bed in the back. You could stop at all the thrift stores and stuff and just pile it full of shit that you don't need.
You could stop at like one thrift store unless you're getting small things.
You know what we could do? You know what I want to do is go back to the Flint Hills where we saw that shop
that was cool
that had the motorcycles in it and it looked, you know, we would just go park in front of it with surveillance until someone finally comes. Or we could set up like a Wi-Fi camera on a tripod and then just have a picture of us. Just be like, ring this and have it be like, ring the bell when you get here. And then it automatically connects you to our phone, like FaceTime.
Or we could just call like the town and ask who, like we figured out who owned it already, Jake, when we were there, and we could have just called them.
You're so boring. My ideas are way better.
So you're going to drive down there to set up a tripod and then come back and wait. For what?
I don't know. I can't afford anything anyway.
Oh my God. All right. We got to end this before we devolve further.
All right. We will see you guys next week.
Take care.